The works of H.P. Lovecraft inspired generations of writers, filmmakers, video game designers, and board game enthusiasts. But how exactly do these pieces of media stray from the source material? Hi, I'm Bear, and on With Strange Eons, I cover different visual adaptations of Lovecraft stories, compare them to the original, and discuss any differences between them. You can find the show on Anchor, Apple, Google, Amazon, or its home location at rabbitholepodcast.com.
Welcome to Top 5 A through Z. I am your temporary host, Jason Soto. Hello, everybody. We are back. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Pete. Hello, Pete. How are you doing on this evening?
You're doing good. Doing good. Hanging in there.
Doing good. Good. We're back.
I got some special news to tell you all. We got a guest here that's been on here before that's close to me. My cousin, Joanna. Say hi, Joanna.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Joanna. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Glad to have you back. You were on last season. I'm sorry. I do so many podcasts. I don't remember what episode you were on. but you were on last season.
Yes. I believe it was the movies that start with the letter W.
Okay. That felt so long ago. and a lot has happened since then. So, yeah. Joanna, if they tell you it's easy to run a podcast network, laugh in their face for me. Okay. Do me a favor and laugh in their face for me. It is not.
That's what I'm learning.
Jason's hearing Tina Turner. Can they keep on turning?
Before we continue with our topic for today, I think we should get paid. Let's get some money to the network. all the shows that we do here at Rabbit Hole Podcast are sponsored by Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod, and you can try it absolutely free for 30 days. You can download any audiobook, original show, or podcast that you want. And after 30 days is up, you just pay $14.99 a month. That's a steal! And you get to access more original shows, audiobooks, and podcasts. You can cancel any time, and if you do cancel, anything that you've downloaded, you get to keep. So that's just yours for the rest of your life to do with whatever the hell you want to do with it. So it is risk-free. Audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod. Using that link helps us out here on the network and shows that you support independent podcasts. And also, the absolute best way to support us is going to patreon.com/rabbitholepods. $3 a month is going to give you early access to every single episode that we do here at Rabbit Hole Podcasts. And there's all kinds of great, goofy-ass content for you to check out. Stuff that is not known to the public whatsoever. Secret stuff. Do not tell anybody. First rule of patreon.com/rabbitholepods is you do not talk about patreon.com/rabbitholepods. Absolutely not. So $3 a month gets you in, and you get to check all that cool shit out. All right. We're done. We got paid. Thank you. Thank you to Patreons. Thank you to Audible for sponsoring us. Today's topic, to anyone who doesn't remember, we're not doing letters necessarily this season. We're just going to be doing topics. And the topic that I've chosen for this episode is we are going to do top five favorite movies that are based on a TV show. And the sort of rules that I kind of came up with and gave these guys was they don't necessarily have to be like the movie does not have to have the same cast as the show. It could have been a movie that was made like years and years later with like different actors and stuff. But if it was based on a TV show, it counts. And the example that I gave that does not count is Ghostbusters. because there was a Ghostbusters show in like the 70s. It was a live action show that was kind of mixed with animation. And then, of course, there was the Ghostbusters movie in 84, which then launched a cartoon that called themselves the Real Ghostbusters, because Dan Aykroyd's a dick sometimes. And so that does not count. I made that clear that like that would not count. As long as it was a TV show first in some way, shape, or form, and then a movie was made sometime after. So those are all the rules that I gave to you guys. I hope that wasn't too difficult. Oddly enough, it wasn't for me. I wrote mine in like about 10 minutes after thinking about it some. So let's get going with our number fives. Joanna, you're our guest, so I'm going to have you go first. What is your number five?
Oh, no. Well, it was a little more difficult for me because I had like 10 when I wrote them all down originally. And so for my criteria, I kind of kept it to I had to have also watched the show to choose my movies. So my number five is based off of the classic animated TV series that follows the adventures of four mutated turtles as they battle numerous villains in New York City. It's 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So nice. This movie came out, I did some research, it came out 3 years after the animated series made its debut. And yeah, it follows the turtles, Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, and my favorite original emo angsty teen, Raphael, along with April O'Neil and Casey Jones as they try to save Splinter from a group of angry teen ninjas and their nemesis Shredder. So
yep.
That's my number five.
That was on a short list I had because I loved the cartoon. Like the cartoon was like my favorite cartoon as a kid. And when the movie came out, I was so geeked out over it. I made my dad like take me like opening weekend. And to my dad's credit, he took me. And I'm sure he suffered immensely because he had no idea what the hell the Ninja Turtles were. He just knew I was obsessed. So that was a good pick. I'm glad someone put that on there.
I love this cartoon. Love the movies too. It kind of feels like that's my childhood. Love this one. I love the second one. I haven't seen the newer ones where the turtles look kind of weird.
Yeah,
I feel like these puppet versions of the turtles are the best.
Oh, 100% better than whatever the hell that's supposed to be in the new movies. 100%, I agree.
There's a few random things I wanted to say. Joanna knows this already. Eric, my brother, was a big Ninja Turtles fan. I love the new movies too. I seen the new ones. They were pretty good. I'm looking forward to, and this is odd for me to say it, but I'm looking forward to the new one that's coming out, the animated one.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of good cast in that too. They got like Jackie Chan as Splinter.
Yes.
Which, you know, and they got like John Cena, I think, in there, if I'm correct. They got Seth Rogen. They got a bunch of voices, and the turtles are actually voiced by actual kids or teenagers or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. But yeah, the original movie was it was something else. I remember part two with Vanilla Ice with Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. that was great.
Cool. Good pick.
A fun fact about this one as well is Skeet Ulrich, which is in this. He's uncredited, but he plays one of the like angry teen ninjas. He's like in the background of a lot of scenes. I'm like, this guy looks really familiar. So if you're a Skeet Ulrich fan, go watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I remember hearing that he's like somewhere in the back. Yes. That's a good fact. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for putting that on there.
Thank you.
Pete, what is your number five, my man?
All righty. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, we had good old Johnny Depp playing a secret undercover cop at a school. And that show was 21 Jump Street. Oh, years later, and we get a comedy based off of 21 Jump Street with the same premise, with Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill being the two main cops that go undercover to go to this college to stop an undercover drug ring, and they got to be students again. Mm-hmm. And Their boss, which is funny as hell, is Ice Cube. This movie's hilarious by beyond what the TV show was. The TV show was actually drama. And for them to turn it into a comedy that actually worked was amazing. And there's so much stuff to talk about this movie. I'm trying to keep it short, but it's just, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp makes the actual cameo in there. Oh, I can't think of her name. I got the notes for a sec. Got her down on here somewhere on here. Where the hell did I put it? Holly Robinson Pete.
Oh,
there
yes.
You go.
Yes,
original.
Yes.
She's in there too. But yeah, it's a fun movie. Ron Riggle. Yeah, he's hilarious in there. They got a bunch of people in this movie. I recommend anybody who loved the TV show to watch the movie actually too, because it does stay true to the format. Even if it's a comedy, it stays true to the format, but there's hilarious, too much hilarious stuff to talk about. And that's my number five.
Well, Pete, my number five is also 21 Jump Street. I was just going to mention, everything Pete says is 100% true, was mostly what I was going to say. What I'm going to add is I remember when this was announced, before it came out, when the trailer was just dropped, people were hating on it. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, who asked for this? This is not going to be good. Why is it a comedy? It was a serious show. Who wants Channing Tatum? You know, Jonah Hill? Like, they were just roasting the hell out of this movie. And then it came out, and it became, like, one of, like, the top comedies of that year, whatever year the movie came out. It is hilarious. It is, like Pete says, it's oddly funny because it's based on this serious TV show about narcotics officers going undercover in a school. But they made that hilarious, and they made it so funny, and the cameos are perfect from Johnny Depp and Richard Grieco, and it's perfect. It is funny. I do want to give a shout out to the sequel, 22 Jump Street.
22 Jump Street.
It's just a sequel to the movie. But I wanted to just kind of give like a minute shout out to it, because the sequel I think is just as funny, if not even funnier. The scene in the sequel when Channing Tatum finds out that Jonah Hill slept with Ice Cube's daughter and just goes on this whole long 5-minute laughing rant in the office. One of the best scenes in the movie.
The way he reacted.
Yeah. So I just want to give a quick shout out to the sequel. But my number five as well, to tag along with Pete, is 21 Jump Street as well, because it was such an unexpected turn of events, so I have to give it a shout out. So good job. So we're on number fours now. So Joanna, what's your number four?
So my number four is a sitcom that was in the 70s and came back in the 1990s, and it follows a wholesome family as they struggle with issues in the 90s, but still keeping that 70s mindset, and that is the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
I love this movie, and this is another one where I thought potentially that this is going to be really stupid, because I used to watch Brady Bunch on TV, and that was just ridiculous as well, but I watched this recently, and I couldn't stop laughing just at how funny and smart it is, and how it kind of still keeps true to the show. It parodies a lot of the different episodes, like when Marcia gets hit in the face with a football. But my favorite character is Jan, because like she's having a slow mental breakdown throughout the entire movie, hearing voices and just her jealousy of Marcia. And I thought that was just like perfect. So I love this movie. I love everything about it. I love how ridiculous it is. I love that it like culminates in a battle of the bands for some reason to save their house. I was choosing between, because I love the Brady Bunch, so I was choosing between this one and then the other Brady Bunch inspired movie, which is A Very Brady Christmas. But I decided to go with the Brady Bunch because that one, I whenever it's on, I'll watch it because it's so good.
And that's another one that's similar to 21 Jump Street. Like when that movie was announced, people were just like, why? Mm-hmm. But then like the movie like makes fun of like of the show in a way, like the wholesomeness that the show was about. And it was like a weird like meta parody upon itself. And it made it such a weird experience to watch. It's such an interesting film. Yeah.
Right. And a lot of the main characters, the original characters came back and they were okay playing these other wacky characters. Like they were also in on the joke and like, yeah, the show was kind of wild. So I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. All right, cool. Awesome.
Well, you know, I only seen half of it.
What?
Really?
What? Dude.
What?
You gotta go finish it, man. The ending, the whole movie's a trip to begin with, but the ending's pretty funny.
It is.
Like Joanna says, it has like a Battle of Bands thing going on, and it's ridiculous. I don't know if you heard
I'm gonna that. Joke and say something, but my cousin's on. I'm not gonna be rude. You know, you were doing that thing, like something smelly was.
No, did you guys hear that?
What?
Okay, I don't know. Something wacky is going on. I'm going to edit this out. Something wacky is happening outside, and I am not going to go look to find out. That's all I'm going to say. Pete, I'm going to go make sure everything's okay outside. Do your number four.
All right. My number four is a good old classic funny as hell Comedy Central TV show, cartoon, South Park. The movie for it, bigger, longer, and uncut. The boys decide, Kenny, Cartman, Stan, Kyle, they all decide to go see their favorite TV show people, which is the, I'm trying to think of their name right now, Terrence and Phillip. Their R-rated movie in the theater. Not Without My Anus, I think it was called, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they go see it, and it's raunchy as hell. They learn all of these the swear words that they never heard before in their life, you know, and they swear a lot themselves, but yet they made it look like they didn't know anything. So they come out and it starts like this big old war thing because of controversy, because they start swearing just like the movie and all this stuff. And Terrence and Phillip get blamed for it. They end up going to jail and a bunch of other crap, a whole bunch of hilarious stuff. Cartman gets censored. And he fights the censorship so much, and it's funny as hell when he breaks it. I mean, it's just funny as hell. It's like, motherfucking piece of mother, and he just goes off. And he gets zapped of shit, and that's like funny as hell when you see it. If you know how Cartman is, if you watch the cartoon, when you see that, it's like just too hilarious. I recommend this movie if you've never seen it yet. If you're a big South Park fan, I know it's been out for many years, so you probably have seen it. But that's my number four.
Okay. Yeah, man, these are all good picks you guys are doing. These are all ones I wanted to do so much. But, man, yeah. I also remember when the movie came out. I did not get to see it right away. But some our friends, I was friends with someone at work who did, like, opening weekend. And I was like, oh, how's the South Park movie? I can't wait to see it. And they're like, it was good, but it's a musical. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, it's a musical. There's just these songs that pop up every 2 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I didn't expect that, but okay, that's cool, I guess. But he was like, oh, but it's funny as fuck. If you love the show, you're going to like it. So, man, good pick. You guys are doing good tonight.
Yeah. I actually have a story about that movie, Pete. I was too young. I wasn't 13 yet, so I couldn't see it in theaters alone. Mm. So Grandpa actually took me and Johnny to see it. We didn't tell him what it was. We just said it was a cartoon we liked. And so he took us. He laughed. He liked it. So just thought you'd find that funny.
That is hilarious.
Yes.
For those who don't know, because Jason does it, our grandfather was a gem. He was awesome. And we've seen movies that we were shocked that he went to go see with us. He used to take us to movies every weekend almost, or every other weekend. and if not once a month. And he would go get me, Eric, my brother, Joanna, and Johnny. Sometimes we all go, sometimes we go separately, whatever. And we go see a movie during the weekend. And it's just to reminisce on that with you real quick. It's one of the things I do miss about my grandfather being around. And Joanna could tell you, he was always funny with that stuff. Like he'd be sitting there enjoying a movie that we picked. That's probably the most obscure movie sometimes. He goes, oh, I like this movie. And we're looking like, and sometimes he'll tell you straight up, this movie was stupid. But okay. Yeah, he liked the majority of what we picked. Right, Joanna?
Yeah. He took me to see like Halloween H2O and everything else that was like slightly not appropriate for like me being a small child, but he didn't really care. He was like, oh yeah, sure, we'll watch this. And he either watched it or he fell asleep. So it didn't really matter.
It worked out.
It's too real easy, wouldn't it, Joanna? Right? You can knock out.
All right, my number four is very much the movie version of the TV show that it is based on. The TV show was based on a very old comic book series, and the TV show went a really goofy, campy route with the whole thing for some reason, and the movie followed suit. And so my number four is Batman the Movie from 1966 with Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin. It is just very much just a long movie version of the Batman show that was popular in the 60s. It's really like, and the only other thing really is you get the, let's see if I remember all this, the Penguin, the Joker, the Riddler, and Catwoman all teamed up together to do one big heist. Yeah. In the film, but that's it. It was basically just a long episode of the Batman show. It doesn't really feel super cinematic in any kind of way. It was just a long version, but it's still goofy as hell, and I still like it. It cracks me up, and it prints a smile on my face when I watch it. I do think like Adam West is like one of the top five like Bat people, whatever. He was really good, and, you know, as campy and silly as the show was, it has, like, a special place in my heart, because I remember watching it every day when I was a kid. It would come on reruns on Nickelodeon or Nick at Night, and I would watch it, and it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, so my number four is the 1966 version of Batman the Movie.
I haven't seen it in a while. I got a question for you.
What's up?
There was one where you seen Batman and Robin dancing. Was that the one where he was dancing in it, or was that the episode?
I think that's from an episode.
Yeah.
I think that's from an episode of the show. I don't think that was I don't recall that in the movie. I'll admit it's been a little while since I've seen the movie. At least like 5 years, 5 or 6 years since I've seen the movie. But I'm pretty sure the dancing was from an actual episode of the TV show.
I had to ask that because I couldn't remember right now.
Fair enough. All right, Joanna, let's go to you. Number three.
Okay, my number three. I'm not sure if either of you guys have watched this, but it is a pretty much a cult classic for teen girls. And the movie serves as the finale episode of a Disney Channel TV show, and that show is Lizzie McGuire, and the movie is the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I think I missed that. I missed that. I don't know, something about that just did not pique my interest.
I think if you were a teen girl in the early 2000s, this movie was for you. It stars Hilary Duff in one of her earliest roles, pretty much her class. They graduate junior high. Her entire class goes to Rome, where she gets mistaken as an Italian pop star, mistaken as an Italian pop star, Isabella, by another pop star, Paolo. A bunch of stuff ensues. You eventually find out that Paolo is actually the worst human being, and it kind of ends with her doing a duet with herself. So it's kind of a... It has one of the best soundtracks. It's very like Disney original movie kind of thing, but it was a theatrical release as opposed to some of the other Disney, the DCOMs out there. So this movie, whenever it's on, it's another one that I watch with my friends. I still listen to the soundtrack in my car, and I love this movie. So I highly recommend Lizzie McGuire if you haven't seen it, or you're a Hilary Duff fan. I know you're gonna run right out and watch it.
Well, if for some reason I'm forced to watch it, I will probably give it a go. Otherwise, I don't know if I have any, no offense, no desire to just go seek it out myself. But I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's perfectly fine. And if you're a fan of Lizzie McGuire, I'm sure it's perfectly fine. So
some of the songs are making a comeback. They're being used in a lot of like different like TikToks and stuff. So like it's kind of like making its way around again. So you potentially have heard some of the songs before.
Okay. I got nothing. I'm sorry. I got a way to follow that up. I'm sorry.
This was my experiment. I was like, I don't know if anyone's heard this, but like,
hey, it's your list. You do whatever you want.
It's my list.
Yeah, you do whatever you want. You're fine. You're cool.
My cousin knows I usually know movies. This is one I have no clue what
I mean. While Pete's standing behind this poster of Lizzie McGuire. All right, Pete, what's your number three?
My number three, and I got to do something to go with this. Yeah. If you know what I'm trying to do an impersonation of, because I could do a better version of that, Joanna's probably heard it a few times years ago. I'm talking about, not the first one, though, because this is actually going to come back again later. I'm talking about the newest one that came out this last past year. The second Beavis and Butthead movie. It is Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Oh, okay.
I think it's actually funnier than the first. I hate to say, but I put it on number three because the first is still classic. It's about, like, you see Beavis and Butthead pretty much back in the day, I'm trying to remember the premise of this movie. I know the whole premise. There's a woman that works in NASA and stuff, and they need the kids' help and stuff and everything that she uses them to try to fix this stuff in space. And they end up going to our time because it starts like right when the show went off the air in the late 90s, and it goes to now. And before all that happened, Butthead or Beavis, I forgot who, had a crush on her. So when they come to now, they're still the same age, they're still all the stuff, but she's older, everybody else is older. And he still has a crush for Beavis and Butthead, I forgot who, has a crush for her. So they're trying to find her, and when she wants no acknowledgement of them because she was trying to get rid of them and all this other stuff. And there's a lot of hilarity in this. It's funny as hell. Beavis falls in love with Suri on the phone too, so you know it's funny because he thinks Suri's real. They're dumb as hell, but they're funny as hell. But that's my short review for this movie, because the next one I think I'm going to talk about more because I love the next one more. But like I said, this is very funny for modern. Well, I mean, my modern jokes is like to our times now. They made fun of so much shit that went on the last few years. It's just hilarious. And talk about Suri, that was like the one of the main jokes of the whole thing was with Suri. But there's other stuff. If you see it, you know what I'm talking about. That's my number three.
All right. Cool. I've not seen that one yet. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I do have Paramount Plus, so I will probably get to it eventually. But I'm gonna steal your thunder, Pete, because my number three is Beavis and Butthead Do America. So I won't talk too much about it. I'll let you do your part. Mm-hmm. But I was needless to say, I was a kid of the 90s. I was a teenager in the 90s, and I was all about the show Beavis and Butthead. Like, it was one of my favorite shows when I was a teenager. It came out in like 93, I believe, and I was 13, which is like the perfect age for Beavis and Butthead, especially if you're a guy. So when they announced the movie was coming out, I was super excited. And And yeah, the movie is wonderful. There's so many interesting cameos in this. You got Bruce Willis and Demi Moore doing voices, has like the bad guys. David Letterman has an uncredited cameo voice in the movie. Rob Zombie directed a sequence in the movie. The soundtrack is wonderful. I bought the soundtrack and I just listened to that from beginning to end. That was like all I listened to for like 6 months was just that entire soundtrack. Yeah, this is a it's a fun movie. It's wonderful. It's very much a movie version of Beavis and Butthead, just minus the music videos, and just the stupid shit they got up to was just
Yep.
amazing to watch. So, all right, I'll let Pete finish it off later. So that's my number three, Beavis and Butthead Do America. Joanna, what's your number two?
So my number two, I kind of picked the show first, and there are several movies that go along with it, so it's really hard to pick just one. So the show is The Muppet Show, which was one of my all-time favorite shows, that and Muppet Babies. And then going back and forth between which movie I wanted to choose, I ended up going actually with a Christmas movie, and it's not a Muppet Christmas Carol. So it's actually 1987's A Muppet Family Christmas. I went back and forth whether this was actually considered a movie, and yes, I consider it a movie. Some people might consider it a TV special. I've read either way, but I consider it a movie. So
That's fine.
it's really hard to find this because it's kind of a copyright nightmare. The version I have it recorded on a VHS tape with all the like Toys R Us commercials and everything in it
Oh,
that
that's
came with
awesome.
it. Yeah, there is a version on YouTube, but some of the scenes are cut out of it and there's different scenes in it. So I'm not exactly sure what the original movie is supposed to look like, but pretty much this movie follows Fozzie Bear, Kermit, and the Muppets. They're going to Fozzie's mom for the holidays, unaware that she's actually planning to go to Malibu, and she rented out her farmhouse to Doc and his dog Sprocket, if you've seen
Yes.
Fraggle Rock. So Fozzie's mom ultimately decides to ditch her trip and they stay for the holidays. They are eventually joined by the cast of Sesame Street, who they all show up to take part in this holiday part in all the Christmas activities. And then Kermit and his nephew actually find the Fraggles that live underneath the farmhouse. So it takes like all the different Muppet characters and puts them all together in this one house. And amongst all of this, there's a disturbing scene where the Swedish chef is trying to cook Big Bird for Christmas dinner, and all this other stuff happens. And while this is all going on, there's like a blizzard heading their way. So I can't go a year without watching this movie. This is like my Chris, like it's Christmas starts with this movie. I love it, and I highly recommend to find a version of it and watch it. So that's my number two.
All right. Awesome.
Those Muppet movies too back then were pretty good in the 80s. Right.
Yeah, a lot of them were. I can see you having a hard time picking which one, but I never seen that one. I remember just hearing a lot about it. But that's awesome that you have the original on a VHS tape with the commercials. Those are like my like every time I go to like a Goodwill or thrifting, I look at VHS tapes. I love looking for stuff that was taped off a TV for old commercials. It's one of my favorite things to do. So that's awesome that you have that.
Right. I think it makes it even better. It was between this or a Muppet Haunted Mansion, because Haunted Mansion is, I'm a huge Disney fan. Haunted Mansion is my all-time favorite ride, and I feel like this parody of it is so good. So it was between those two, but I had to go with the one that I watch every year.
You know the Haunted Mansion movie?
I have heard that, yes. I don't know much about it, but yeah, I have heard that they're doing that, so.
They are.
All right, cool. Thank you. Pete, number two.
Yeah. Sorry. Let's try to do the voice again, but one came up. Since I said it'll come back on here, number two is the first Beavis and Butthead. New America. By far, very funny. Like I said, the second one's funnier, but still, this is still hilarious. Like, if you think, like I said, when you see the second one, you're going to laugh your ass off. But like I said, this one, you're going to laugh your ass off, too. Since Jason appointed me to describe everything for it, it involves Beavis and Butthead. They accidentally break the TV, so they're trying to get, like, a new TV for one part. And as they do, they bump into this criminal who was played by Bruce Willis. And he thinks they're these hitmen, and they're not hitmen. And he says, "Can you do my wife?" Meaning the killer. And, of course, they think, well, he wants us to do his wife. We'll find his wife, and you know what I mean. And it's not killing her. You know what I'm saying? So they go on this, like, American road trip type movie cartoon thing where they're trying to find his wife. And his wife is played, of course, by Demi Moore, his ex-wife in real life and stuff and all that. And she's just as bad, of course. And she realizes that after they tell her why they're after her, she uses them pretty much. Like, oh, yeah, you know, they're thinking I'm going to do with them. But, you know, it's like, no. So the whole thing is just fucking hilarious. The part with the old lady, and Joanna's going to laugh. Didn't that old lady remind you of Graham just a little bit? You know,
I'm not saying anything where this can be heard by anyone.
My hair. With the glasses, you remember the scene I'm talking about in Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. talking about the slot machines and stuff. Oh, we'll do slots. But it's just fucking hilarious. Like, you watch this whole thing, and I you know, just to hear what's going on with Bruce Willis, it's sad. Sorry, I had to mention that. But he does comedy. He does comedy, and he did this pretty good, you know. And even Demi Moore did this pretty good. And those kids in this Beavis and Butthead, they're stupid as hell. Like I said, I just said that in the last one, but they're funny as hell, especially in this one. They got a good soundtrack to this. They got the classic Red Hot Chili Peppers version of Roller Coaster in this.
Yes, yes.
It's a perfect scene with that, too, and I love that whole scene with that. They got a really good soundtrack, like Jason said. That highlights the movie, too, is the soundtrack. But it's just hilarious. And that is my number two.
All right. My number two is a 90s movie that is based on a TV show from the 60s. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not super familiar with the TV show from the 60s. But from what I know, the movie more or less was true to the show. And that's going to be The Fugitive. The Fugitive was filmed, it took place in Chicago, and a lot of the scenes was filmed in Chicago. And there's a scene where their Harrison Ford's character Richard Kimball is being chased through a St. Patrick's Day parade. They filmed that during an actual St. Patrick's Day parade that was happening the year that they filmed it. And like the people in that parade were just regular people there for a parade. And they had no idea that a movie was being made. They were just filming the movie along with the parade. So, some interesting little trivia for you. But yeah, this is a great movie. This is a brilliant movie. Great acting from everybody, from Harrison Ford to Tommy Lee Jones. It's a good little murder mystery because he gets framed for the murder of his wife. He didn't do it, so he's trying to figure out who did and who framed him. And he gets sentenced to life in prison, but through a train accident hitting the bus that was taking him to prison, he manages to escape, and then he goes on the run, and then he's just trying to find the one-armed man who murdered my wife! and so, and then you got Tommy Lee Jones just going around hunting him down, and yeah, it's just brilliant. It's a great, great movie. Highly recommend it if you hadn't seen it for some reason. And yeah, that's it. My number two is The Fugitive, 1993.
They had such great scenery from here in Chicago in that movie. Really
yeah,
good stuff.
A lot of great stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to recommend just a quick shout out to the Leslie Nielsen parody Wrongfully Accused. I just want to throw that out there. All right. Hey, we are on our number ones, peeps. Let's do it. Joanna, what's your number one?
Okay. So my number one is not only my top for this list, but it is my top, one of my top five favorite movies ever. And so I was really hoping that, yes, this was also a show when it came first, because I remember it being a show. But this is, again, based on the Disney animated sitcom, and it follows the relationship between a single dad and his son and their neighbors. And it's from my favorite. It's from 1995, and it's a Goofy movie.
Oh.
So, yeah. So Goofy movie is based off of the Disney animated series Goof Troop, which aired in 92 and was part of, I don't know if you remember, Disney Afternoon, that also had DuckTales, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, like all the classic cartoons.
Yep.
So Disney wanted to find a way to kind of make Goofy a more established character, give him more emotion. So they came up with Goofy movie, which is one of my top five all favorite movies ever. It follows Goofy and Max on their way to supposedly a fishing trip in Lake Destiny, Idaho. But Goofy doesn't know that Max is actually trying to get to the Powerline concert in LA to impress the girl that he likes, Roxanne. So
yes,
this is my all-time favorite movie. This was actually, the soundtrack was the first CD I actually bought for myself.
Nice.
Yeah, so like this has a special place in my heart. I love this movie. I watch it all the time. I wear t-shirts of it all the time. I don't know, just something about it. I feel like it's different than other Disney movies. The music is excellent. Pauly Short is a voice character in it. I just think it's really good.
Okay. Yeah, I love the Goofy movie. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember really liking it.
Oh, hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm sorry, I had to do it. Yeah.
You gave it a shot, Pete. That's all I'm going to say. Yes. I'm going to be nice and say you gave it a shot.
Yes.
All right. Pete, what is your number one?
The creepy and the kooky. Okay. I can't remember the whole lyrics, but Adam's Family from 91.
Okay.
I always loved the TV show from back in the day. I loved the reboot that just was recently with the Wednesday stuff.
Yeah.
I loved the cartoon that came out, the movie cartoon. That was great. It's very, I mean, the movie itself pays so much great homage to the original. Tim Burton made it. And talking about Wednesday, you get Christina Ricci playing Wednesday in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the TV show playing a different character. But Gomez is looking for his long lost brother. And two con men, one of whom happens to be the long lost brother, but I'm spoiling that, sorry, but who doesn't know it though at the time. Looks like him, are trying to con the Adams out of all this money and all this other stuff in the movie, and all this hilarity ensues. The sub stories are like you have Wednesday on her summer vacation, and she's trying to get the friends and stuff at the camp that she's at, and there's goofiness with that. There's a bunch of stuff going on with this stuff, and I might be thinking of the sequel with that, but I think it was the first one with that. You got Lurch still in here. You got Cousin It still in here. You got a bunch of classic characters. Angelica Houston is, of course, God, I can't say her name right now. I'm telling you, Morticia. Gomez is the late, great Raul Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Christopher Lloyd was, of course, Uncle Fester.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people in this movie. I keep going down the line it's not credited. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, too. But I mean, like top 100, whatever you want to, somewhere in that line. It's just my favorite all-time, of course, as you see, TV show movie. It stays true. That's all I'm going to say. It's just a great Tim Burton version of the classic show.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome pick. Thank you. Sweet. My number one is probably not a surprise. If you really know me, if you really, really knew me, you would know this would be my number one. The show that the movie is a movie version of came out in 1988. It was a local access show and eventually got picked up by Comedy Central. It was on Comedy Central for several years until it moved to the Sci-Fi Channel. And then it recently got rebooted both on Netflix, and then it got its own streaming service. But I am talking about 1996's Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie. I am a huge MST3K fan. It is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I have every episode of the classic series on a flash drive, and I can just sum it up anytime I want. I just pick a random episode and I go. I remember hearing about this movie when I was a teenager, but the marketing for it was terrible, and it was barely in like any theaters. It only went into like 400 theaters, and it was mainly like in college towns for some reason. And then it was just quietly put on like home video. And that was how I ended up having to see it. I had to end up buying the VHS tape of it, to watch it. And, it's funny that there's a movie version of a TV show where the whole premise of the TV show is to watch a movie. So there's just some weird, like, Inception shit to that that I don't know how to explain. And then here's another weird fact for you all. The movie is actually shorter than the TV show. So that's fucking weird, too. but, yeah. Yeah, I have to give it to Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, as my number one. Just because I'm such a huge fan. It's one of my favorites. And I like the newer versions too. People don't seem to like the newer ones as much. I dig the new ones. It's not going to be the same, obviously. They got to update it. But the jokes are still funny and the movies are still terrible, and that's all I care about. So there we go. My number one is Science Theater 3000, the movie.
This was very close to being
on. Really?
Yeah, this is just one of those things where like one of your random friends has this on VHS and it's like, it's a Saturday night, we're teenagers, what do we do? Well, like somebody's like, have you seen this? And you're like, no. Or then you watch it and then it's like, oh man, now I'm obsessed with this. Like, it's just,
yes.
Oh, I don't know, man, how to describe it, but it's like, I can see why it was only like marketed really in college towns and stuff.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
The right type of audience will really, yeah, appreciate.
It was a bummer for me as a 16-year-old who couldn't get to a college town to see the movie in theaters, so I had to wait for it to come out on video. But yeah, all right, cool. That's all. That's awesome. All right, well, that's gonna do it for this episode, Joanna. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show kind of last minute. So I very much am appreciative of you for doing it. Is there anything you want to shout out, plug, mention, anything you want to say before we leave?
Not really. And just thank you for having me. This is always a lot of fun. Happy to come back if you ever need me again, but I really like having to think about movies, shows, stuff I haven't watched in a long time. Not having to do my job researching during the day. So
tell your boss I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'll write him a note if you need, or her, him or her. I'll write them a note and say, hey, this is Joanna's excuse for not working.
Yeah. But yeah, no, thank you guys so much. It's a lot of fun. I always like talking with Pete, and yeah.
Well, thank you. As always, yeah, thanks. You're welcome anytime to come on. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you.
You enjoy it. Movies and stuff and all that anyways, every now and then, like, you know, we don't talk much like we used to, but we still talk about movies. But
all right, well, Pete, thank you so much as always for being here as well. I want to give a shout out to Bill. Thank you for creating the show And to anyone wondering, he will be back. Just don't know when, but he will be back. So I have no fear. And that's going to do it. Everyone listening, go to rabbitholepodcast.com and go check out every show, not of this show, but of every other show that we do as well there. There's all kinds of great stuff. There's movie shows, TV shows, music. We got a book club. There is all kinds of wonderful different types of podcasts to check out. No matter what you're into, you'll find it over at rabbitholepodcast.com. And hopefully we'll be back on a schedule for this show. So hopefully we'll see you in a couple of weeks. So until then, we'll catch you later.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Copyright 2023, Rabbit Hole Podcasts, rabbitholepodcasts.com.